The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome to It Came From the Radio. This is your host, Mari Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
How you doing?
And our very own Hassan Godwin is in quarantine. I don't know if you've realized this, but since we started this year, he has not come down to the station at once.
Well, I'm thinking
he's in quarantine.
Yeah, I'm thinking, he was in... He was on that planet for a while.
The Avatar planet, yeah.
Yes, and possibly has visited another planet for this one. But they do have Super Bowl telecast on that planet.
The Super Bowl is being telecast to that planet because he paid for the upgrade.
Yes, and that's his assignment to critique the Super Bowl.
Critique the Super Bowl commercials. That's what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, that's what I go for.
Because I know they're going to have a lot of movie premiere commercials in that. And it's going to be the big talk.
Plus, they have Bruno Mars performing halftime.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Nothing.
I like the right before the game. They do a lot of crazy things. Like they'll have like a lot of great performances. Stuff I never see because I don't watch it.
Well,
I watch the game.
Right.
Which is at 6:30, I believe. But and I watch the commercials and the halftime.
And then that's it.
Years ago, I used to just go shopping at that time because the stores were empty. There was like tumbleweed going through the stores. You could shop in like 5 minutes. You could do a whole week's worth of grocery shopping, 5 minutes.
And us being in New York, it's more people over there now.
Yeah, than exactly. If it was just the this is a big thing for the metropolitan area. I mean, it's really in Jersey, and people in New York just took it over, you know.
Yeah.
They done Main Street with ESPN. And
that's how New Yorkers are. That's how it's over there.
Yay, New York. It's in Jersey, you know. But, you know, it's the home of one of our New York teams.
Exactly.
I do not recognize the Jets as a New York team. Keep those cards and letters coming in, fans. But the Giants are only New York team. Well, no, I'm lying. Buffaloes are the New York team.
Yeah, but nobody.
Nobody. Yeah.
It's New York up there. Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't even realize that Buffalo was part of New York because they never called it New York. They called it Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, that's upstate. I was like,
Yeah, when I was a kid, I never realized one of the falls, the American Falls, was in New York.
Yeah. See?
No.
Exactly.
It's always Niagara Falls.
So good job. Our education system.
Yes.
For teaching us.
Yeah. Never, you know, I went to Catholic school, so my education was how to take a shot from the nuns. You know.
With the ruler. Right?
Yeah, and then the brothers get you and they beat you up.
Man.
Yeah, so.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GPB website, you can see us on the high-definition web camera right now, waving out there.
High definition.
Provided that you're listening to us now in the present. If you're listening to us in the future in an archive, then you'll be watching something completely different.
What is this, Spaceballs? This is when we are here. We were there a moment ago, but now we're here.
Prepare to fast forward. Prepare to fast forward. We want to see right now.
Just let me throw a disclaimer out there. I'm not criticizing all Catholic schools. There's much different now because kids got smart. They have lawyers.
And they use smaller rulers.
Right, yeah, yeah. This was back in the early 60s, guys. And every time you got hit, your parents said, well, you must have deserved it.
So let's take away with the news. For those of you, actually, you've been missing the opening of the news, Charlie. The news is brought to you by our sponsor, the Rat Bastards of Belmore Towing. in Belmore, New York. And just in time for the holidays, so Valentine's holiday, if you're lonely and you want to get screwed, contact Belmore Towing and they'll screw you over.
Oh my God. That's a great commercial. Okay, you just go with that. I have no clue. Me and Brian are over here going, what the
well, you,
heck
you missed
is going
when,
on?
When they would they tried to rape me over the coals to replace a lug nut, a $7 lug nut for $60.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Those lugs are expensive.
A $7 lug nut.
Yes.
So I actually mentioned the whole thing on a previous show about my whole adventure with them. So now they are our official sponsor.
And...
because we want everybody to know of their legal but extremely unfair business practices.
Okay. Do we have a jingle for that?
We should have a
we
jingle.
We should have a jingle. Hey, how many people you rip off this week? How many people? You know, something like, what All is right. it? What's the name of the towing company?
It is Belmore Towing Company.
Hey, how many people rip off Belmore? How many people rip off Belmore? How many people? If you want to get ripped off, go to Belmore Towing.
But for the holiday, for the Valentine's holiday, if you want to get screwed,
yeah,
go to Belmore Towing.
See, see I get it.
Starting with the news, we're going to start with some sad news, which I just found out just before I had to leave to come to
the
station.
Are you
going to
talk about the guy who played...
I'm going to talk about the guy, yeah.
Yeah, played Truman Capote.
Philip Seymour Hoffman was found dead last night in his apartment in New York. The official cause of death is unknown because it's too soon, but the speculation already is a drug overdose.
Yeah. Well, they found him with the needle in his arm, didn't they?
That's what the report says, but you know, yeah. you can't have it the official until the death warrant gets signed off, official cause of death. So right now, officially, there's unknown cause of death. like you see a guy, you know, he gets shot in the head. Well, he might have gotten shot in the head. We're not sure until
we
get the official report.
He allegedly got shot in his. That's allegedly his brains on the wall.
Yes, exactly. When. Was it Paul Walker? They said he allegedly died in a car crash until the coroner did his report. Like, well, you know, he died in a car crash.
So yeah.
Gotta be official, us being a news organization. A respected news organization.
You know who else died? Being that we're being the angel of death right away.
Yeah. Yes, who else died?
Maximilian Schell.
And who was that?
I don't know. No, he's an actor. He's many, many motion pictures. Which so many I can't even name one of them. Call in, folks. Tell us what.
All of them.
They were in all of them.
He was
all the motion pictures he was in. He was in them.
Yes,
all of them.
He had a walk-in role in some. He was an extra in the credits.
Yes.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, most known for being in movies such as *Scent of a Woman*, *Twister*, *The Master*, *Capote*, where he won a Best Actor Oscar. And he was last seen in the Hunger Games. He was in Hunger Games, the second part. Mm. So now, what's going to happen? Because I know they're filming the first part of the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And he's in it. So are they just going to switch him out? Who knows? They're just probably going to get
who
an actor.
Who knows what they do? Their magic, they weave.
Because it's based on, you know, an actual story. So
actually, Marianne, our sometimes guest correspondent,
yes,
our resident Hobbit expert,
yes,
she texted me with that, and I said, and I really, she knows names of actors and stuff,
right.
And sometimes they get away from me, the names, but I'll know. So I said, I'll bite, who the hell is he? Right? And then when she explained, I said, oh, Truman, so she's good with that. I don't know names.
He was 46, so...
And he left a wife and what, three kids?
I believe so, yeah. So that's sad news.
Yeah.
Now we're going to move to our happy news, because as we said, there's no place to go but up.
Moving along to the festive news.
Yes. Let's see. Well, we'll start with this one. Just a few weeks after my arch nemesis, Shia LaBeouf, had left Twitter forever. He said he was leaving Twitter after his whole plagiarizing adventure that he had.
Yeah.
He decided that he still wants to be famous and has joined the cast alongside Bill Murray, Bruce Willis, Kate Hudson, Zooey Deschanel, Danny McBride in a comedy called Rock the Casbah. The movie follows Richie Vance, a has-been rock manager who takes his last remaining client to a USO tour of Afghanistan. And when Richie finds himself left in Kabul, abandoned, penniless, and without his passport, he discovers a young girl with extraordinary voice and manages her through Afghanistan's version of American Idol, the wildly popular Afghan star.
Wow.
So it sounds like a riot.
Holy Ishtar.
Ishtar, yes.
Which I don't think anybody saw except the people in this room.
I never saw it, but I know not to see it. That was how bad
it was.
Yeah,
it was an amazingly, and this was against all odds. You had Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman in a movie, and it bit the big Ishtar.
It's like, wow, this is called box office gold, and then it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's like Ishtar, but, you know, performers in a foreign land that we normally don't go to to perform.
Yes.
Except Beyonce, and, you know, she goes to any foreign land if
Madonna,
the price is right.
Madonna.
Madonna, all of them, yeah.
Speaking of all of them.
and again, for the record, I really like Beyonce and Madonna, but Beyonce, yeah.
Empire Magazine, a magazine I've never heard of before, but is released in the United Kingdom, released 25 different covers of the X-Men Days of Future Past movie. So just like in the old days when the comic books had multi-covers, for one thing, they made a magazine with 25 different covers. Two of which was of Hugh Jackman, because, you know, you have to double the sales. And it showed all the characters from the new X-Men movie Days of Future Past, which is coming out this year. And in the magazine, Bryan Singer, who's the director, clarified that Apocalypse, Age of Apocalypse, which is the sequel, which is the next movie he's working on, is more of a first-class sequel than a direct follow-up to Days of Future Past, and will only include the first-class cast. So, for you fans out there, this means that the only time you're going to be able to see all your favorite X-Men characters from the first three movies will be in this movie coming up, and then they're back to doing other projects.
And that's a brilliant marketing strategy, by the way, the 25 covers.
You think so?
Yeah, because you know people are going to be out there, and they'll have to have all those 25 covers.
I don't think in today's
day and
age,
because somewhere down
work.
The line, they think these are going to be collector's items.
I don't think
they did that. They did
work.
That many years ago, 1997. They did that as senior correspondent. In 1997, Anthology came out.
Okay.
So TV Guide decided to put five covers out, five TV guides, and I have them all because I'm a Beatle fanatic, and that spurred an Elvis thing.
Yes.
They had an Elvis special, and they put I don't know how many covers, and people bought the same TV guide only.
But that's back in the day. That's what I'm saying. Back then, where getting that kind of thing was as a collector's item. Hell, I even got the Star Trek one that had all the captains on it. I got the one my favorite captain.
Yeah.
And then they did a Simpsons one. But I don't even get TV Guide anymore. Like, who cares?
Yeah, but I'm talking this thing now. Well, people may go out and buy all 25 covers.
Okay.
I think that's wild, 25. I mean, four with five? No.
Okay. I wouldn't either. Especially a magazine I've never heard of.
Yeah.
But
you never know. Those are always the, you know, down the road someplace, you know, when you have kids, they're going to say, hey, if you grab those 25 covers, you know what they'll be worth now?
$1 million.
As much as they were back then when you grabbed the 25 covers.
Without inflation, they'll be deflated.
Yes. You lost money. Congratulations.
This is just like what they used to do in the comic books in the 90s, which was, you know, to sell more comics, they had different covers. And they kind of still do that nowadays, but... as a matter of fact, they did for the DC Universe. They had what's called the New 52, which is they have 52 new titles for the whole. They restarted the entire DC Comics line, and they made 52 different covers for it. It's just people were upset, you know, and the internet were like, oh, we can't buy all this. This is just crazy. At $6 a pop for a comic book, like, who's gonna buy 52 different covers? It's a bit much.
Who's going to buy a comic book for $1 million?
Two people, at least two people.
So, you know, at least they're getting some 25 covers there.
All right, fair enough.
So they're going to sell 50 comic books of the same thing.
Fair enough.
Let's move on because my mind is frying.
Moving on about, speaking about money.
Mr. Segway.
I Frankenstein is now officially considered a flop, earning only $8.3 million domestically last week. The film clocked in costing at almost $65 million to make.
Wow. hope it does better, like, as it goes on.
It usually doesn't. It's very rare that a movie would actually go up the following week. It has happened. There's been like two or three Frankenstein movies.
I forgot about that movie.
I, working in the movie theater, I saw the last about 20 minutes of that movie. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And I'm like, this is a terrible movie. And I asked the other guys, like, yeah, this is pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
At the thing, you know, I'm going to sound ignorant here, but who's in it?
It's Aaron Eckhart from the Batman movie.
Okay.
From Dark Knight, he played Two-Face.
Okay.
And the blonde-haired girl from the TV show Chuck.
What was she from?
Chuck. It was a TV show called Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't, and her.
Yeah.
It's the Frankenstein's monster, who's called Frankenstein in this movie, although he's not supposed to be Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
he's fighting gargoyles and some demons. In the modern
era, he's
like a superhero.
Oh, it's like Abe Lincoln vampire.
No, Abe Lincoln vampire hunter was ridiculously good.
It was actually good.
Yes, this
was good.
This was.
Who would have thought that would have been good?
And it's very historically accurate, by the way.
Yeah. And it came out the same time as the other one.
Yeah, that was
a beautiful thing.
That was planning right there.
Yeah. Are you going to see that masterpiece, Lincoln? No, I'm going to see Abe Lincoln vampire. You know, could you imagine that?
That's what I did.
I was amazingly surprised with that movie. But anyway, go
ahead. So to put things into perspective, Ride Along, which was, you know, 2 weeks ago, only cost $25 million to make and has earned in 2 weeks $75.4 million.
That looks damn funny, that movie. I would go see that.
So
I should have gone see it if I had time, but...
You have to think, like, you know, the premise of Ride Along is let's put Ice Cube and Kevin Hart together in a movie and let it go.
He's always
good. Here's
$25 million
to make it, right?
Yeah.
The other movie is like, well, we're gonna get a graphic novel. It's based on a graphic novel. I freaking sign. It's gonna be a movie. We're gonna get tons of special effects. We're gonna make it in 3D and IMAX. It's gonna cost us $65 million to make.
Yeah.
And it only makes $8 million. Of course, you know, if somebody gave me $8 million, I wouldn't be like, no thanks.
Yeah, but not when you spend $65 million.
Yeah.
You know, that's like $65 million to do the movie, and then guy comes over after the movie's up. Okay, here's what you made, $8 million.
That guy's probably now fired.
Yeah.
This will actually be the...
Unless he did a producer thing and got a lot of stuff and made $8 million clear. Springtime for Hitler.
You would think that actually, Flo, this makes it the first official flop of 2014 would be I, Frankenstein.
Oh, God bless him.
Yeah, so it's not as bad as 2 years ago with the John Carter, because that was like a $300 million movie.
See, and I didn't think that was...
I know, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't bad.
It
yeah.
wasn't... It based
I'm just
on
glad
the reviews,
because
it
wasn't Disney.
That bad.
I'm glad. Was this Disney?
No. This is not
okay.
No.
All right.
But Disney did make the money back with the Avengers the same year, so, you know, what you going to do?
Okay.
So moving, speaking of Disney.
Mr. Segway, or I should say, Mr. Segway, hi! Go ahead.
Feld Entertainment announces Marvel Universe Live, which will debut in Florida, July 10th, 2014, at Tampa Bay Times Forum, with a special world premiere event at the Barclays Center, right here in Brooklyn, in New York, August 13th. Executives say...
Here's the executive voice, folks. Go.
The show will feature more than 25 Marvel characters together on one epic quest. When the Cosmic Cube is shattered, the Avengers, including Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Thor, Spider-Man, and Wolverine, will embark on a journey around the world to retrieve the fragments in order to combat Loki, who has made a synthetic replacement for the shattered mystical device. Their journey will pit them against villains from all over the Marvel Universe, as well and including Green Goblin, Doc Octopus, Red Skull, Madame Hydra, and Electro.
Wow, that executive sounded like he was way overweight. You did a deeper voice for that one.
Well, he's really...
It's like, whoa.
He's really into that pizza. The executive say, I want another slice of pizza.
Yes.
Producer
and don't call that towing company.
Yes. Producer Juliet Field.
What was the name of that towing company?
No More Towing. Producer Juliet Field promises that through unique and technological advances of the show, including real sets, props, and stunts augmented by unique 3D projectors, fans will feel like they stepped into a Marvel blockbuster film come to life. What makes this interesting is that it's a show, so you can go see the people, much like the Spider-Man show.
Right.
But because of the whole legalese that is the world of today, they can include characters such as Wolverine and Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe, whereas in the Marvel Cinematic Universe on screen, Wolverine and Spider-Man cannot appear with the Avengers because different companies own the rights to make the film. So this is their chance to show what could be had they had all the rights to all the characters. And as you see, they're using favorites, and they're using Loki, who seems to be the only bad guy worth mentioning in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is kind of sad, because he's not even really a bad guy anymore. He's more like an anti-hero. So I think I might want to go see that. Would you be interested in seeing that?
Nah.
I
don't know.
All right.
Mom.
All right, then. let's see. That one, I have that one. I did that one. Oh, and finally. Oh, no, I have finally. Two. I have two.
Two finally. So
I didn't see this one.
So pre-finally and...
Yes, pre-finally. In a recent interview, Josh Brolin had expressed his opinions on the movie Jonah Hex. You remember Jonah Hex?
Oh, yes, yeah.
he says... I think Jonah Hex deserved that bashing it received for reasons that the critics will never know. We were almost ready to drop the film when its director came up, his kid. He was an interesting young guy full of energy, and he was obsessed with Jonah Hex. I thought, this is either a really bad decision or a brilliant decision. Turns out it was really bad. If I'm ever really rich, I'll do that movie again, however, seriously. I still think it's a lot of fun if you go in to see that movie. That's what I told the marketing people at Warner Brothers. I said, I can't lie about this, so I have to look for a truism that I can go with. So I think that if you do go in there, kind of like with Piranha 3D, when you just go to see the movie for fun, thinking that this is ridiculous and completely fun, and if you went in with that with Jonah Hex, you would have had a good time. Do you agree with that?
You know what? I'm not a movie executive. I'm not a director.
I remember you hated that movie.
I play one on TV. All they have to do, they don't have to redo it. They don't have to do it over. Let Megan Fox do everything without clothes on. It'll make a fortune.
But will it be any good?
Hell no. No matter what they do with it.
Well, as you do recall, Megan Fox was
What is he going to do? Put Sarah Michelle Gellar in it? Or
well, Josh Brolin was Jonah Hex in the first one, so he said he would do it again, but the movie was a huge flop. I thought it wasn't that bad. It was pretty bad, but it wasn't that bad. I've seen worse.
Imagine Jonah Hex meets John Carter.
Bring two franchises that are flops and throw an I, Frankenstein in there to have a trilogy to see, and then it will make money just because some crazy logic.
I would
love
to see that.
That would be amazing to do. Let's take two things that make no money and put it together. That's a genius idea. So I think that...
Had something else. That was the pre-one.
Yes. And finally. Quentin Tarantino's script... for his latest movie, The Hateful Eight, leaked online. And according to Quentin Tarantino, he'd only shown it to 6 people. And he was so mad that he decided to shelve the project and not make the movie at all.
And he is suing.
And on top of that, he is taking it a step further, filing a copyright lawsuit against Gawker Media for posting the script online on their site, Defamer. The lawyers say, Gawker Media has a business of predatory journalism, violating people's right just to make a buck. This time, they went too far. Rather than merely publishing a news story reporting the plaintiff's screenplay that might have been circulating in Hollywood without his permission, Gawker Media crossed the journalistic line by promoting itself to the public as the first and only source to read the entire screenplay illegally.
Okay, so here is the thing, Quentin. Now don't show it to 6 people. Don't show it to 1. Just keep it in the can until you're ready to show it.
But supposedly, the six people were the people who were going to be in the movie, like the cast was going to be in the movie.
That's why he thought one of the actors leaked it.
Yeah, because those are the people he showed to, the actors.
Yeah, but he had an idea of who did it.
Yeah.
So
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, this has happened before. I mean, I remember Halloween movie that Rob Zombie did. The ending was leaked online, and he got mad, so he changed the ending.
Yeah, well, he probably didn't have to change it. They have now 5,000 alternative endings. So.
Yeah.
He says, all right, switch it out, and put the other one in.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I can understand Tarantino getting insane about that. Because, you know, first of all, he's Quentin Tarantino. He's
Quentin Tarantino.
Too wrapped tight anyway, but...
I don't know. I'm kind of two minds of this whole thing. On the first half, I'm thinking, for somebody to go through the effort to read the script, they're probably going to want to go see the movie. Especially if it's any good. This script is great. I'm going
to
go see the movie.
For them to have completed the movie.
Well, at least the script is completed. Yeah, they didn't film anything yet.
I mean, well...
But that's one way of thinking. The other way is, well, then... If it is leaked online, like, you know, how dare they do this type of thing? It should be all under wraps as in the old days. You know, you couldn't find anything. They had to make fake names for movies, so you couldn't find anything
they did
out.
That when I was working at ABC, God forbid you leaked any of the soap opera stuff out. And people would go on commercials and on shows, talk shows, and they would get drilled. Come on, you know what's going to happen. And they would say... No, we don't. They give us the script that day, which was all BS, but it was just to, you know, because they do it 2 weeks in advance.
Right.
You know, and when we were at ABC, which was dangerous because they would have the feeds from the studios on our TVs in our offices.
Right.
So you could see them rehearsing. So you can actually, but the really serious ones, they didn't feed in.
Right.
But, yeah, I used to do that all the time. I used to go home, you know, to Marion and go, yeah, this is going to happen tomorrow. She goes, I can't, you know, I got an appointment. I'm not going to be able to see it. This is what's going to happen.
So with that, I mean, in today's day and age, people want to know as much as possible. They're always trying to find the inside scoop and everything else. So wouldn't it be in their best interest to promote that stuff? I'm like, oh, well, this is what's going to happen. Let's go see it. I want interest. Or is it all about the surprise?
I don't know. I can't speak for people, but I'm one of those people who like Herman will go to me, you know, our missing correspondent.
Shemp.
He'll go, you want to know what happened? And I'll go, no. He goes, why? And that would bother him. You're going to see the movie? You're not going to see. He would tell me, you're not going to see the movie. I'm going to, Herman, yeah, I am going to see the movie. Okay, let me tell you what happened. No.
But then he would still tell you.
And then by the end of that conversation, I would know.
So
he would say, you aren't going to see the movie.
Yeah, you aren't going to like it anyway.
Not now, you know.
But what was it? Stephen King, the great Stephen King, at a convention, he said, knowing the ending of the movie does not change the enjoyment of the movie, in his opinion, obviously.
Yeah.
He says, because then why do you watch the movie again? Already know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah,
so.
I used to, back in the day, because I am the senior correspondent, when TV was young and they had, Channel 9 didn't have a lot of programming, they would put the $1 million movie on all day.
Right.
And I would sit home on a Saturday, and if it was an Abbott and Costello one, watch it all day.
Right.
And my mother would come in periodically and say, are you crazy? You just saw that. And I had to watch it again.
Well, I actually sat in the theater, and I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark 3 times straight. 1, 2, you know.
Really?
Yeah, so like that's, and I enjoyed it just as much any other time. So it's always two minds this whole
debate. It's like even now, as a senior, I had Anthology in 1997 it came out. And I got the VHSs, now I have the DVDs, and I must have watched that about 9 or 10 times. And that's a saga.
Right.
And it's like, I don't, you know, I know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, but you know.
So it can go either way.
Right.
So we're ready for our break there, Brian? We'll be right back where we came from the radio.
Will we?
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
If you want to get ripped.
Go.
And we are back with the Q&A Radio. This is your host.
Did everybody hear us, Channing? Call us in. Let us know.
Along with our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, on Super Bowl Sunday, which we decided to not talk about Super Bowl Sunday because everybody else is talking about Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, so many people are talking about Super Bowl Sunday.
They've been talking about it for like 3 weeks straight.
Yes.
And I see you are wearing a Super Bowl.
Well, this is my team, the Giants. They're not in it this year, but, you know, they're playing it at Giants Stadium. I refuse to call it Jet Stadium, but they're playing at Giants Stadium. Fair. And I do wish that Big Brother, you know, Peyton gets a ring in his brother's home.
That'd be interesting. That'd be an interesting family dynamic. I got a ring.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this week.
Well, just to throw in, and then we won't say anything, but he has broken so many records this year. He has been amazing, Peyton Manning. All right, that's it. This week.
So this week, we're going to be talking about the trend that is, and it's been for a while, of the shaky handheld camera movies. Yes,
there's a shaking camera, no good.
There's a precedence of how we were just mentioning about movies making profit and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it pretty much started, and they used to do it with the documentary film style. That's right. One thing, but it really started with the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, yeah.
This was over 100 years ago, way back in the day.
Yeah.
And it was about some people who went into the woods with a shaky camera, and it was supposed to be found footage that people, you know.
But once again, that was breaking new ground. It was all right for that. Beating the dead horse is not all right. But go ahead.
I think, and it's such a low-cost movie to make because they're using actual handheld cameras, and most of the actors are just ad-libbing if there is ever a script, which there hardly is. You know, you got to get this.
Let us make that clear, as people from MTV stage, they were acting. It was.
Yes, and that was one of the biggest things. So maybe the marketing helped that movie so much because people actually thought it was lost footage, that they actually died and stuff happened.
They actually thought it was like that was the.
Right.
Which was, again, groundbreaking. But then what happens is you get that chair and whip and you beat that dead horse into the ground.
Yes, and there's tons of movies that's come out afterwards. Big budget movies that are shot in that form, such as Cloverfield.
Well, that's, right now state for the record that was the only one I tolerated.
Really?
Because I enjoyed that movie.
I did not enjoy that movie.
Yeah,
for a lot of different reasons. But I can say I was with it for a while. I was like, all right, I'm with it. But there was the point where they got to the part when the building was halfway over, and he's like, I'm gonna go in there and get my girlfriend.
Yeah,
I'm like,
all right,
that's it. That's what it was. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not going
that
there.
Was that's I'm not. That's almost like Transformers when they're all running jump.
Yeah, like
right? Well, remember that jump?
Yeah, when they jumped
like,
out the glass,
crazy jump.
Down, yeah,
you know. So. What are we gonna land on the other building for? And we're gonna time it.
Yeah,
you know. What are we from a circus family? No, we're not gonna time this.
So right there, I'm like, yeah, that's it for me. But the whole thing is
right.
Why must they keep on filming? That's the whole reasoning. Why, in normal situations, you would drop the camera and run for your life. that's what they do. So out of 90% of them, there's only a couple that I that I liked, which would be Quarantine. Because in Quarantine, which was a shaky handheld camera movie, based on a movie called REC Record, it was a news camera crew that had heard about this fire, and they went into the building, and they turned off the power, so they needed the light from the camera so they can see. And they actually used the camera as a weapon to beat down the monster.
I saw that. I didn't know what it was. When I first saw that, I saw it on TV, and I'm watching it, and I'm saying, the camera thing. But then I kept watching it, because it was like, okay, why are they going in that room? Why are they going, what the hell is that?
So, but they at least made some effort to incorporate the camera into it. Another movie that I thought was really well done as a shaky handheld camera movie was Chronicle. So it's a superhero movie. But they did it in such a way that it wasn't just one camera. It was multiple cameras, any device. So it was like they were using all the footage as opposed to just one guy walking around with a handheld camera.
They have this thing now that they do. And if you watch movies, sometimes you'll spot it. They move the camera very slowly. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
And it looks like you're on a ship because they move it and they make the figure tilt a little and then they come back. And I want to call up the director and say, I will kill you and all your family. Signed, unsigned, you know.
Of course, in the Star Trek, in the old Star Trek series, when the ship used to, they just shook the camera and they ran around like idiots.
Those shaky camera things, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like it's not like a brand new thing, but I think it's just such a bad idea because it takes you out of the movie.
Because they beat the dead horse. It would be a great idea if they kept it in Blair Witch and said, oh my God, look at this. But everybody jumps on the bandwagon. It's like that with everything. It's like that with the slasher movies. Friday the 13th was a great movie.
Right.
Halloween was a great movie.
Yes.
All of a sudden, everybody, let's see how much guts or how different we can cut off a head this time or kill this person like disgustingly this time.
They instead of going for the horror, they go for the gore because that's the lower of the two common denominators.
You know how I feel about that. I don't believe they should be called horror movies.
Right, they should be called gore movies. Yeah. It's like the Saw movies.
Yeah.
I would say those are gore movies than horror movies. Although I really like the Saw series. They were pretty well done with the puzzle and all together. Mm-hmm. But those were not shaky handheld camera movies. And it also seems that shaky handheld camera movies are also designed for horror movies, quote-unquote horror movies, than anything else.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. Is it supposed to make it more real to bring the audience into the film?
I don't know.
And it bothers me to no end. Like, there's always things that bother me in lots of movies, like, oh, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that? But the fact is, why in the world are you still holding that camera? It boggles my mind as to how many times you're thinking, throw it on the camera and run. But then, of course, there'd be no movie. It would just be the camera lying on the side.
Yeah, I would be one of those people, you know, with the running.
And
if I really loved the camera that much, I would run with the camera. I wouldn't be filming anything.
And yet, it's still making money. So people must be liking this sort of thing. Right, there has to be a certain group that just flocks to this thing. I mean, the newest one, which I would say would be the Paranormal Activity series.
Oh yeah,
which is another handheld camera, not even shaky, just like handheld camera.
Everything else is shaky.
Yeah, but those movies are terrible on their own. I mean, I remember the first one. They're like, oh, it's gonna be, you know, such a great scare and everything, and I went to see it. And someone had told me 2 hours before I went to see the movie, that nothing happens in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I already had in my mindset, nothing's going to happen. So I'm sitting there, and nothing happened. Nothing happened until like the last 3 minutes of the movie, and then stuff happened. And I was like, oh, well, that's the part that they kept on showing the audience reaction of what happened in the movie. And then they made another one. And then they made another one. Yeah. And then they made another one with the same exact format of nothing happening and then stuff happening at the end. But they keep on making money. They keep on making more and more and more money. And then the last Paranormal Activity,
it's like a roller coaster. People like go back and get scared.
But it's not even scary. I can't even say that it's scary.
No, it was scary, and they didn't even use that Well, Woman in Black, which I thought was...
That was a great movie.
And The Conjuring. Did you see The Conjuring? Oh, baby.
Conjuring. That would be the one with the doll, right?
In the beginning.
Yeah. That was based on the Amityville, before the Amityville.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
that one. Right. That was decent.
That was decent. I tell you, the great doublehead would be the Woman in Black in that.
I wouldn't say that was a scary.
You didn't think that was scary?
No, the last scary movie I can honestly say was The Ring. That freaked me out when that girl came out that well through the TV. That freaked me out.
What was that in Scary Movie? What?
Well, when
Latifah starts beating the crap out.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't do that, girl.
But I wouldn't say it's scary. There's parts of times I've gotten creeped out. Like, well, oh, this is creepy. This is kind of creepy.
The face.
Kind of creepy.
Do you remember in the beginning the face of the girl?
Yeah.
That was the first time they used that. Now they use it every time.
Yeah.
But
what was that movie? The one with Elizabeth Olsen. They made a movie where it was like in real time, but it was a handheld camera movie. But the difference was, they didn't make it as a handheld camera movie, just that the camera following them was a handheld camera. Right. So that was like a mixture of both genres together. It was shot in one entire scene, one shot.
What was that? I don't remember. Call in all the people who are listening.
The name of the Elizabeth Olsen movie that she was
in.
It was like a couple years ago, and it was pretty good. It was creepy.
First one calls in wins a gift certificate to that company, that towing company.
Yes, they get a...
Yes.
That's funny. But at least that one, they made it so that it's just filmed this way.
Yeah.
It's not a shaky handheld kind of movie.
I think if you took a census of people, they would say they had enough of the shaky movies.
You would think that, and yet they're still coming to see it. They're the only way to vote. It's a voting. It's with your money, paying to the movie. How much the movie makes?
Paranormal Activities. You can't tell me guys don't go there with their girlfriends, and vice versa. Girls go there with their guys because some guys get put that.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just teenage movie thing, and it's like our equivalent to our double features back in the 70s. And
okay,
you know, because those movies were ridiculous. They were good, but if you talk to people older, they would say, I don't care.
Like,
but
we
loved them.
The ones with the mad scientist running experiments, you know,
well,
and
Hammer,
giant ants and
the Hammer films. Yeah, those were theirs. Those were back in the day, the B movies. But with us, I mean, I just miss that whole thing because I remember the late 50s and early 60s, but the B movies were still, I just didn't go to the theater to see them.
Well, the cheese factor is on the Asylum films. Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, Sharknado.
Right.
That's our...
Yeah.
That's the modern age B movies. You know, they're completely ridiculous.
They're bad
special effects. They get like some has-been actors in it, and it's just such a guilty pleasure to watch.
And then Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino did that.
The Grindhouse,
which is the take on the 70s, what me and Herman went to see.
Which was a flop, believe it or not.
But all the people who from the 70s that saw that would like, oh yeah, I remember those lines in the film. I remember those, you know. But
it was too long. That was the problem.
That was it. But it was a flop because of Quentin Tarantino's part. And I could say that, you know. I'll tell you why. That part, he just stretched out too much in that. That was with Kurt Russell.
Oh, the death race?
And the girls.
Right.
Well, there was a scene in the beginning of that where I don't know if he was trying to emulate Reservoir Dogs or anything, but he was going around the table with the camera, and it was the most boring. Oh, the script was just so boring. And I remember I was there with Herman. I'm saying, I'm leaving, Herman. I'm leaving. This has got... And I remember that thing was like pulling teeth. The only good part was the action scenes.
Right.
And it. But when they were in that, I don't even know what it was, like a diner or a cafe, and they were just BSing Oh, my God. It was like, just give me a shrimp fork so I can pull out my eye. Please.
I guess it's the same thing.
But the Robert Rodriguez one was all action. Right. So.
I guess it's like with the machete. You know, Robert Rodriguez went all crazy with the with the 70s action hero.
Exactly. And if people don't pick that up, people actually said, "This stunk." And I'm like,
"Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding me? Do you get it? Do you get it?"
Some people just don't get it.
Yeah.
But they, you know, like I said,
De Niro got it. He was in the very jog. I can't believe De Niro's taking roles like that. You know, you got to respect the guy for getting it.
Yeah.
You know?
This reminds me of when Rumble in the Bronx came out. That was the Jackie Chan, his quote-unquote,
like
first release movie in the United States.
Except for the cops cars. I liked that one.
He, they promoted it as, you know, this man does his own stunts. It's an action movie. And I was working at Blockbuster at the time. And I saw this trailer, and I'm like, I've never heard of Jackie Chan. I didn't know about him before. I didn't know that was the same guy from the Cannonball Run movies. I didn't know that was him. Mm. I didn't know that was the same guy from The Protector, which was a terrible movie with Danny Aiello. Mm. That was his first attempt. I just heard this great guy. He's some Asian action star. They bring this movie over. He does his own stunts. He jumps from one place to the other with no net. That's what they were promoting. Stunts, action movie.
Yeah.
And I'm telling everybody, you're going to go see this movie? And they're like, yeah, we're going to go see this movie. And there's one lady, she comes to me, she says, that man thinks he's Superman. I'm not going to watch that movie. I'm like, but that's the whole point, that he's doing all these crazy stunts. Yeah. And she's like, well, because he's doing his own stunts, I'm not going to watch that movie. Like, she didn't get it. And it just blew my mind how she just did not get it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm not getting this whole shaky hand. I don't get it.
You know what? It's very annoying. It's very annoying to people like us who watch movies and want to concentrate on one thing, because subconsciously you really can't concentrate if the camera's shaking.
Right.
You know, and it's annoying because maybe kids now in our generation are used to it. In this generation are used to it, and they don't even care. But what I can't get over is how they try to slip it in there, like secretly, when that camera moves slowly. And I'm like, oh, you know. But so, as if you're asking me, it's a deterrent. I don't care how good the movie is. If I know there's a shaky camera thing, I won't watch it. So, I saw Cloverfield by accident.
Oh, okay.
I saw it by accident, and I got hooked up into it. You know, and I knew the shaky cameras.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. I liked it. But you're absolutely right. I would be running, and that camera would be on the side, seeing my rear end go like, you know, 5 million miles away.
The last movie that came out, Devil's Due, came out this year, was also a shaky handheld camera movie.
I didn't see it.
And I didn't know it was a shaky handheld camera movie. Actually, I didn't know anything about this movie except that it was a horror movie, and we had it at our theater. So I was like, horror movie, I'll go see it. So I go in there, and then they're starting the whole shaky hand, and I'm like, uh-oh. And my friend was with me, he goes, I think this is a shaky handheld camera movie. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And I'm like, oh, crap, it is. So right there, it puts me in such a off-putting mood that I couldn't enjoy the rest of the movie, which was a really bad movie. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't get into it because they're doing all this stuff, and you have to... It's even beyond... The disbelief that you're supposed to have when you go watch movies, suspension of disbelief. There's certain things happen in movies that can't happen anywhere else. You get you turn on the TV and the news item that's pertinent to the story is on the news, or you know, they never say goodbye when you're on the phone. Yeah. It's just, you know, you talk about, oh, you know, Bob, meet me here, and then you hang up the phone. Yeah. You don't say goodbye. You never say goodbye in a movie. It's just one of those things. Or when you beat up the other guy and you take his clothes, it always fits you. Or when you get into a car, the car is always set for you. And me, when I first started getting to other people's cars, I always have to adjust the mirrors and adjust the seat. Like, that doesn't happen in a movie. It's always the right size. So
and about the keys are always there.
Yes, there's always
they're
the keys
in the visor or in the thing.
Right. So that's the suspension of disbelief that you're supposed to go into with movies, which is fine. But with a shaky handheld camera, I cannot get beyond that whole thing of we have to keep on filming for whatever reason, and then it's, you know, lost footage or what have you. Although I have to say with the Paranormal Activity 5, they didn't even give you a reason. At this point, like, you know what, this is just how it's going to be, accept it and move on.
That's it.
And by doing that, I was able to enjoy that one out of all of them, because they actually went around, stuff happened in this movie, and they didn't, like, they just, and then in the beginning of the movie, they said, hey, you got a new camera, and that was it. So there wasn't, keep on filming. Oh, why? And then every once in a while, they said, well, why are you bringing this? But he goes, I don't know why I'm still filming. Like, there was no... They didn't even try, so maybe that was what made it so well. It's like, they didn't even bother. They didn't even care. It's just this is just how it is.
We're doing it, and this is it.
So where do you think it's going to go in the future? Are we going to continue with this trend of shaky handheld camera movies? Is they just going to get tired of it, like the 3D craze? Remember the 3D craze?
Yeah.
It's still there, but it's not as big as it once was.
You know, that's a... a question I can't answer, because you don't know how many people are going to buy into this. I didn't think reality shows were going to take off, but it depends on the amount of people that buy into it, and that's what's going to keep it going. You and I, we don't buy into it, but like, we'll get hooked. We'll go to a movie and say, oh my God, this
right.
Herman cannot stand the shaky camera deal. My thing is, if those movies are making money, they're going to still do it.
Well, using the reality TV as a platform, I'll say one thing, Paris Hilton.
What
happened to Paris Hilton? She used to be, and now she's gone.
Yeah, but it was replaced by something else.
Right.
That's what it is one thing dies out, a growing up Gotti. Thank God it went bye-bye, and something replaced it. Now
the Jersey Shore
went gone.
Yeah.
But now you got the South, from the people from the South.
Right.
That they do some shore like that, but it's only hillbillies now.
The Duck Dynasty, I think that's the one, right?
No. That's not... No, it's actually kids.
Oh.
But they're like from down South. I don't know what the name of it is. And they're hillbillies. The hillbilly shores. I don't know why. But it takes after the Jersey Shore. So one goes away, another one comes in.
So basically, we just have to wait to see what's the next thing to come in from the shaky
handheld. Yeah, but it's not
camera.
Ending. It's like a vicious... No, you know. It's like... I don't know.
Well,
but I have to mention one other thing that,
yes,
that you missed. That things that got us aggravated. When I was hit, and there was a detective chasing a crook. And the crook was like really far away. The detective always knew where the crook went. He always turned the right corner. He always went. He would look both ways and then go the right way. And I would say to my dad, "How does he know how to go?" And he says, "Because it's a movie, son." Yeah. And that's what I had to deal with. But anyway, back to the shaky cameras. What do you think?
I think that. It's gonna still be there, like everything else. There's always gonna be a niche for it, but I think at a certain point in time, people are gonna be like, "We're done with it. We're not gonna go see it, or we're not gonna give it as much attention when the next big thing comes in."
Yeah.
Because if you remember, when 2, 3, 4 years ago, 3D was gonna be the end all everything.
Yeah.
And everything had to be 3D. But then it kind of died down, despite the fact that Avatar 3D, high school movie all the time. Titanic, not in 3D, but then they brought it back in 3D. Second highest grossing movie all the time. Avengers, 3D and 2D, but a lot of people didn't see it in 3D. They saw it in 2D because it was a converted afterwards. So I think it'll still be there, but not as big as it once was, thankfully. Mm-hmm. I think somebody's going to have, you know, here's $25 million, go make a movie. And if it makes $50 million, we're all set.
Yeah, well.
As opposed to, here's a $200 million movie. Yeah. Make a shaky hand camera movie, and then...
And you know what? The poor guy won the Academy Award for his invention. You know the camera that follows people, but it's on the stand?
Yeah.
And it's the Steadicam?
Yeah, the Steadicam.
The Steadicam. He won an Academy Award for being so inventive. Could you imagine him cringing now? Like,
I remember they used that for that's when I heard about it, was Return of the Jedi, when they had the chase scene.
Yeah.
And he was like, we invented a steady camera, and I was like, it doesn't shake. We don't want it to shake.
That guy who invented it,
he's like,
the Academy Award for
he's gonna go around beating people. What do you mean? I spent all this money, and I got a prestige for making sure it doesn't do exactly what you're doing.
He got, exactly. Got a Panaflex, he set it up. Now some jerk with a cannon, 8mm, is making a fortune.
We have less than 5 minutes to go. So, final thought there, Charlie?
Final thoughts are no final thoughts, actually, but just again, just reiterating, Steadicam will. I mean, the Steadicam,
shaky cam,
the shaky cameras. If enough people get annoyed, but then the next generation, another generation will come, and all of a sudden, something old will be new again.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
So.
My final thought is when you were mentioning about the cop and the chasing the bad guy, it reminded me of an episode of T.J. Hooker. The only episode of T.J. Hooker I ever saw starring William Shatner, who played Kirk in the old days.
Right.
He was chasing on foot a car that was in a parking garage. So the car was driving at full speed down the parking garage, and Shatner was chasing it down the stairs, and he caught it at the end.
Wow.
You know, he's playing his song, he's running on those stairs, Shatner, he's running, and the car's, screeching, and going out, and then he manages to jump onto the car before it comes out. I'm like, what the hell? That's your suspension of disbelief. That's my limit right there. I was like, I can't accept that.
Yeah.
So that is my final thought for this week. So go enjoy the Super Bowl. It's starting very soon, right?
And next week I won't be here. Why? Tell them, Monk.
Because of the Beatle Fest that's going on.
The Beatle Fest. The anniversary, the whole weekend, is the 50th anniversary of the Beatles visiting our shore and starting a whole thing and changing the world and all that stuff.
So there you go. So you'll actually give us a report on it the following week.
Yes.
See, there you go.
I will be on assignment.
Yeah. So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show,
tough,
you can go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com, and listen to the archives, which will be up in a day or so. And as I kind of forget to mention, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Like us on Facebook. So we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.